Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This video is brought to you by Factor. Go to factormeals.com/Merle50 to get half off your Factor order, and stay tuned after this review for more info. Hello, everybody, and welcome to my look at some of the movie trailers and ads that we saw at the big game, or the Super Bowl. You can't say that too loud, or I think something like a genie from the NFL pops up and like takes $5 out of your pocket. I'm not quite sure how it works. I am on the road, hence the background here, or lack of background, and also perhaps the slightly more hushed tone. But that won't stop me from talking about stuff. I'm on the road all the time. You just throw up the mobile setup and you get on with it. This was an interesting Super Bowl. It was a good game. It was an overtime game, went all the way down to the wire. But I have to say, as far as movie trailers and especially ads this year, it really wasn't that great. It feels like the Super Bowl's lost a lot of its luster as like the premier place to debut ads and trailers. And I think it's because of the internet. You know, you can just put it on YouTube, get that buzz going. You don't have to buy $7 million worth of ad time. And so gradually over the years, it hasn't been as fun as it used to be. But there were still some really cool trailers that debuted, or at least announcements for trailers that you could go watch online. And we'll talk about some of the ads later. But let's focus on some of the movies that we got a first extended look at. And the first one is the third Deadpool movie, which up until today was called Deadpool 3, but appears to officially be titled Deadpool and Wolverine. I'd wondered how much Hugh Jackman was actually going to be in this movie, if they were hyping up this appearance and it was just one or two scenes. But if you're calling the movie Deadpool and Wolverine, that means that either there's going to be a lot of Hugh Jackman in it, or there's not going to be, and it's a desperation move to try to get people interested. And I think that that's really going to backfire. They're holding off on the big Wolverine reveal in motion. We've seen the pictures and stuff from the set, but we didn't actually see Hugh Jackman in this trailer. I think it's smart. You want to save something for the inevitable second trailer. And from what it looks like the setup is, I actually kind of like how they're merging Deadpool and the MCU, because it looks like he's going to get pulled out by the TVA, so it's kind of a merging with Loki. You have Matthew McFadyen, who appears to be an agent of the TVA. I'm glad to see him, because I hope he's able to lean into the humorous side of himself. You saw a little bit of that on Succession. You saw a little bit more of that in the trailers here, but it looks like they're going to be able to use Deadpool kind of the way that he was used in the comic books, which is that he's on the outside of the Marvel Universe commenting on it. And here, because he's apparently in an alternate timeline, he can literally be pulled in. You see him watching the MCU on TV, talking about a cinematic universe. He is literally outside of the world at this point. And I mean, just from outside appearances, from how it looks in this trailer, I think that's a really smart way to introduce him to the MCU. This is still going to be an R-rated movie. So, I mean, I was always looking forward to this, but I'm a little bit more excited based off of this first trailer, because I like the way that it appears that they're going to be bringing him into the fold. You never know quite how the movie is going to turn out, but I really like the first Deadpool films, and this one looked like a lot of fun too.
I am
We also got our first real look at Wicked, which, much like Dune, they're really leaning away from the part one when they're publicizing the movie. If you look down in the description of the YouTube video where the trailer is, it says, or it confirms, that it is the first part of two parts, the second part coming out in November of 2025. And, you know, I've said this before, I don't really know anything about the musical other than the basic premise, so I don't know how it'll work being split into two movies. This trailer didn't necessarily get me that excited for the movie, because again, all I could really tell from it is, oh, okay, Wizard of Oz. Like, I saw a lot of the different, you know, visual things and Dorothy, and it looks like a glimpse of what happens in the movie that we know. And of course, it's more based off of the books, I think, than the movie. But I didn't jump out of my seat saying like, oh wow, I can't wait for this. One thing that I noticed, Wicked, very popular as a musical, there was not one frame of a person singing a song in this trailer. So it seems like the early strategy, at least, is to run away from Wicked being a musical. I know that there are so many people that love this, and I'm sure that they are super excited by looking at this trailer because they know it more in context than I do. I'm still looking forward to the movie because I love musicals and I've heard that Wicked is a good musical, but this first initial trailer didn't do a whole lot to get me super excited about it.
I'm not afraid. It's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
There's also a new trailer for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the second real trailer that we've gotten for the film, which comes out in May. And I've got to be honest, I remain really skeptical of this movie, really only because the previous trilogy, the Caesar trilogy, I guess you might call it, was so good. I mean, those movies were really, really good, and I didn't really feel like you needed to do anything beyond that. It segued perfectly into the era of Planet of the Apes that we already know. Now we're coming back. I think very few of the original creative teams coming back for this, and I don't know. I just didn't really look that exciting to me. The apes, I think, first of all, look worse effects-wise than they did a decade ago. I don't know if that's a thing with budget or because you have so many apes, you don't have enough time to concentrate enough, or it could just be that the effects aren't quite done yet. But I don't think it looks as good as the previous apes films. And again, story-wise, it's going to have to do a lot to justify on my end why you're making another one of these movies after you told that story so well before. So much like Wicked, it's another one. I never write a movie off before I go in to see it. But these early trailers haven't really done a lot to get me excited for this movie.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
One movie that I wasn't even really sure existed because it seemed like it was just something that was on paper is Twisters, the sequel to Twister, which stars Glenn Powell as Tyler Owens, the tornado wrangler. We also saw Daisy Edgar Jones and Anthony Ramos. And it seems to me that Glenn Powell's character matches very closely the persona that was described to us of Bill Paxton's character in the first Twister movie called The Extreme, who was way up front and getting so close to tornadoes and wanted to be right up there with the action. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting parallel. And he drives a very similar looking truck that Bill Paxton drove in the first movie. We also saw a glimpse of Dorothy, which was the tornado measurement device that the whole first movie was about. So this is obviously still in the same Twister universe. I know that they've been going on and on about the fact that this isn't really connected to the first one, but I think that there are some links to the first Twister film that we're not hearing about with these trailers, because maybe they're just trying to call back and make it seem similar, but I think that there's more shoes to drop. As far as the movie itself, listen, I love the first Twister movie. It came out at a very, like, you know, critical time for me in my early teens. I was so into movies and effects, and it was a big effects-driven movie when computer effects were first taking over. I'm a big weather nut anyway. I really want this one to be good. I think it's hard to replicate what made the first movie so special, but at the same time, because I like that first film, I'm rooting for this second film. Whether or not it's any good, we'll see, but I will definitely be there when it opens to see if it can replicate even a fraction of what they are able to do with that first really dumb, but I think really good, like actually good, first Twister film.
We got twins! Twins!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And those were the big debuts that we really got on the Super Bowl. I mean, we hadn't seen Twisters or Wicked or anything from Deadpool before. We got a little bit more from Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And then we got some teases for The Fall Guy and Despicable Me 4 and a couple of other movies. But it wasn't the huge showcase like we've seen before in the past. And I kind of felt that way about the ads as well. I thought that the ads were super disappointing this year. There were only a few standouts. The major standout for me was Ben Affleck's Dunkin' Donuts ad. I think that was my favorite ad last year. And it was my favorite ad again this year because they upped the ante. You've got J-Lo in there, and then you've got the Boston crew. You're bringing in Tom Brady. Matt Damon's there. I thought he played the embarrassed best friend really well.
How do you like them donuts? I'm so sorry.
You had to see it, but I forgive you. Lay us on the track.
And I think that Ben Affleck just has a sense of humor about him. I know that a lot of people kind of try to type him or cast him as like this very sort of mopey, droll guy. But I think he's having a lot of fun in these ads. I love that J-Lo is game to play along. And I thought that like that was kind of one of the perfect ideas for a Super Bowl ad. Yes, you have celebrities in it, but it's funny. It makes sense that the celebrities are there because it's the whole Boston crew. It doesn't take itself too seriously. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really funny ad.
You remember when I told you I'd do anything for you? This is anything.
Chill. They're naming a drink after us.
The other one I thought was clever was the Michael Cera for CeraVe Skincare, mostly because I've never really heard of CeraVe before, so it was a good job with the crossover. Again, you get a funny actor who's there for a reason. It makes sense why Michael Cera is in that commercial.
Let my cream hydrate you. Three essential ceramides.
It's also for a product that I didn't really know about, which is sort of like the main function of advertising, so I guess it kind of wins on that front. But those were the two where I was like, okay, that makes sense. You get the celebrities, you come in, you stunt cast. It's a clever idea. It's what most Super Bowl commercials used to be. But the rest of the ones just weren't that great. I mean, first of all, how much did Temu spend on Super Bowl ads? Because there were like four or five Temu ads, and they weren't even really that creative. It was just getting Temu out in front of everybody. And this was also maybe one of the first years, if not the only years, where I had to go and look up what a bunch of the products were. I mean, Starry? What is that? It's a soda, apparently, from Pepsi that took the place of Sierra Mist. Poppy is a prebiotic soda that's supposed to help you poopy, I guess. And then honestly, and I'm not being glib here, when Mark Wahlberg showed up and started talking to me very seriously about praying, I for real thought that there was like a surprise Ted sequel and that, you know, a foul-mouthed teddy bear was gonna walk out and start saying inappropriate stuff and then, you know, like coming this spring or fall or whatever.
Join us in prayer this Lent on Hallow. Stay prayed up.
But no, it was just Mark Wahlberg like sincerely telling you to pray for this prayer app that he works with called Hallow. So, you know, that was sort of a weird ad or kind of caught me off guard. And then you had a couple of other celebrity stunt castings. You had the Christopher Walken BMW ad, which I hope was really just the most non-reality premise of all time, because if people actually go up to Christopher Walken and do him to him all the time, I would die from secondhand embarrassment if I saw that happen.
It's the real deal.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of a clever idea for an ad, but the joke, I guess, is really that Christopher Walken's voice is funny. Kind of similar to the Arnold Schwarzenegger State Farm ad, which is predicated on the whole idea of, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger has an accent, and so instead of neighbor, he says neighbor.
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 And I think it only succeeded because Arnold is obviously a good sport and he was having a good time and he was given 110%. And listen, I'll never argue with him teaming up with Danny DeVito again, but I thought that you could have gone so many different ways with the ad and it just wasn't really that clever. And that's kind of how I felt with all of them. Like I said, I think that the internet really has taken the luster off of Super Bowl ads because it's not the same kind of platform. It is the most watched show every year on TV, but there are so many other ways to get that audience now that you just don't see companies pouring as much time and effort into that one event. So those are my thoughts on the big movie trailers and some of the big ads that were on the big game, the Super Bowl, if you will, last night. What did you think? Were there any that stood out to you? Any movies that it made you want to see that you weren't so sure about? Or any ads that you liked that I didn't mention? Let me know down in the comments below. And as always, stay tuned right here. Tomorrow is actually going to be kind of a weird day because I'm going to have a review earlier in the morning. And then Charts is going to be out a little bit later to give a little space. And then I've got some other stuff coming out through the rest of the week. And then next week, is packed with a lot of big things, including a review for, I'd say, the biggest movie that's coming out this year so far. So it's been a kind of slow first couple months of the year, just generally industry-wise on the channel. But things are going to start picking up, especially as we get towards the Oscars, which are fast approaching. So thanks so much for spending part of your day here with me. And before we go, I want to thank the sponsor for this video, Factor. This episode's brought to you by Factor. It's a busy world, and sometimes it's tough to find the time to eat right. Factor makes sure that time isn't a factor with chef-crafted and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. Each week, you get over 35 different choices with meal plans that include keto, vegan and veggie, and much more. And there are over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that can help you round out those meal plans. Factor isn't just about the ingredients, it's also about the time with restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Factor also offers snacks, smoothies, and more, so you can plan out an entire day, not just one or two meals. Factor's also less expensive than takeout, and you can get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/Merle50 and use code Merle50 to get 50% off. That's code Merle50 at factormeals.com/Merle50 to get 50% off. Thanks so much to Factor for sponsoring this video, and thank you for watching. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.